NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilots, Liz and Naima. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
First things first, the draft happened last week. The Kings picked Devin Carter out of Providence at 13. A bit of a surprise, not a big surprise, but a bit of a surprise because I think most fans wanted a power forward or a 3-and-D wing. How did you feel?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, we'll probably never know, like, fully, you know, what their plans were. Obviously, they picked who they picked at that spot because they thought he was the best player available. But I was curious to see, like, if Ron Holland didn't go where he went, if, like, maybe he would have been the choice. So, like, did that throw a wrench in their plans potentially? And that's why they ultimately, like, Devin Carter was, like, the second on their board type of situation. But it's not a surprising pick, which is the type of player that, you know, he is based on, like, the highlights I've seen from him. Like, it's a very Monty pick. So I'm excited for it. He seems excited to be in Sacramento. So, yeah, it's just, again, like, a new player is coming in. That's exciting. So I support, again, any player that comes to play for the Kings. So regardless, I will support him through and through.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Daly and Liz, it's like a little bit shocking why we went with the pick that we did, but then it made sense later on when we decided to, like, trade, you know, Davion and Sasha. So, and he seems like a good kid. He seems excited to play. And I, from what I've seen, I do like the way he plays and everything. He's aggressive to the rim. He can shoot from three. He seems like a good player to have on the team. So, like Liz said, like, I'm going to support him, and I hope that, you know, he'll play well for Sac. And the whole thing about his dad was an assistant coach at one point for the Kings. You know, that's a really cool moment. You know, he lived in Sac, so he's actually familiar with Sacramento. So that should be good for him, like, acclimating to the NBA like that. So, yeah, excited for the pick. Again, I always trust our front office. Like, after all those years, now it's something to worth trusting. So, yeah, just excited to see what he does. Like, I'm excited to watch him in the, you know, Summer League and then now the California Classic. So, yeah, should be good.
Yeah, and shout out to all the draft experts / Kings media. I feel like all the confusion and or disappointment was snuffed out probably within 5 minutes, because as soon as the Kings made that pick, the draft community, all the experts, and then Kings media, all they did was post Devin Carter hype tweets. Before we get to that, let's talk about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. And the well-respected members of the draft community on Twitter or X, they knew what was up with Devin Carter, and they loved the pick. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that started circulating around the Kings fan base, everybody started getting on board. He was mocked to us by more than a few experts out there. Every expert had him higher on their big boards. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic had him ranked at 7. To me, it's like a Halliburton situation in that he's the best player available that fell to 13. Two-way player, has the physicality. Older, like Liz said, he's a Monty guy, son of Anthony Carter. You ask any old basketball head who Anthony Carter is, and they'll tell you he's a dog. 1.8 steals per game. He shot 37% from three last season. Above average athleticism, high motor, work ethic, and all that. I think he's plug and play. The only concerns is that he's positionally small, but his wingspan is well above average, and his shooting, it's a small sample size. So he only had one good year of shooting 37% from three. So I think you have to ask, well, is that going to be sustainable? Is that real? And we'll see. So if he doesn't shoot that well, then yeah, we just got a little bit of a bigger Davion for his first 2 years. But if his shooting is real, then holy cow, we have a true two-way player to be excited about.
Yeah, I think that's the disappointing thing. This is like, it happens every draft year. People will kind of judge the pick before it comes full circle. So yeah, obviously at first it didn't make sense because, you know, we had Davion, we had like, you know, all these guards on the roster, but then once Davion gets traded, then it's like, okay, it makes sense. Like that's kind of who he's going to come in for. And that's like what his role is going to be initially. Maybe, you know, he might work his way up, you know, depending on what goes on, but it just like, to me, if you want to judge a situation, that's perfectly fine, but make sure you know the details of the situation, like of what type of player he is before you go and like shit on the pick. Because I saw a lot of that, especially from some media members. I was confused because I'm like, well, you guys wanted this person. We didn't pick that person. We picked this person. And then, you know, later down the road, like 2 hours later after the draft, you're like, oh, my bad. Yeah, I watched some highlights and now I think I can buy into this. And it's like, it just like, they just judge it too early. Like, I feel like it's the same situation with Keegan, the same situation with probably Tyrese, Davion, like all these draft picks. It's like, okay, do your research before you just go and tweet a bunch of stuff about this player that is coming into a situation. And right off the bat, it's like, he's kind of like, not necessarily him getting crapped on, but like, he's kind of getting put down because he's getting drafted into a situation where, you know what I mean? Like it didn't make sense, but that's like, that's not his fault. It's more, you know, our front office's fault at first, but again, we have to kind of wait and see what happens before we can fully judge the pick. And then again, it made sense once Davion was traded over to the Raptors.
Yeah. And I always say, watch full games of players. And I understand that it's above most people's pay grade to watch every prospect and watch full games. But if you know you're picking 13th and you're a media member and you're responsible for how a fan base feels, I feel like they are. I feel like many fans rely on, you know, the core group of Kings media members to form their opinions on what's going on in the league and what's going on with the Kings. And I just think it's important to watch full games or even just a half of these players that you think are probably going to be available at 13. So that way you're better informed. And I know there are so-called draft experts out there that are really good at memorizing all the little capsules that you could read about a player. And it's like, it's just, do you really know a person? Do you really know a player if you're just reading about them, which is from somebody else's lens? Whereas if you watch somebody in real time or you watch an actual game, you could learn so much more about them in using your own criteria and your own eyes to evaluate a player. Yeah, I just think it's important to do that, but I'll get off my soapbox. Today, Devin Carter had his introductory press conference with the Kings. Did you, and either of you see that or?
Yeah, I was able to watch the full thing.
Yeah, it was great. So he talked about not having any rookie awards or accolades as goals, and he just wanted to focus on winning. For me, that was the quote that stuck out to me. And if you want to see that, I think the Kings posted it, and a few other people posted it as well. I posted it myself as soon as it was said. Just the vibes coming from this young man are incredible. Did anything stand out to you, Liz?
Yeah, I just think as a whole, the way he just, you know, carried himself, you know, talking to the media, you know, he was kind of joking around. You know, they asked, you know, about his outfits. They're like, oh, you know, are you going to try to outshine Malik? And he's like, oh, we'll let GQ decide about that. And then he asked, I don't remember who asked the question, but he was like, what would you rate my draft day outfit? And they were like, oh, I would have given it like a 15. So you're going to see the type of personality that he has. So I definitely think in regards to that, he's going to like fit right in with his team. Like, it's not going to be Keegan that, you know, Keegan just doesn't smile and probably doesn't talk a whole lot. Like, I feel like he's going to come in with a little bit of swagger. Like, he's probably not going to be afraid to, like, you know, talk his shit. Like, I just feel like he's kind of like Malik 2.0. Like, obviously Malik is Malik, but I feel he gives me those kind of vibes. So it was definitely, you know, good to see. And then obviously, you know, his backstory of, like, when he was living here with his dad, when his dad was an assistant coach, you know, they lived in Roseville. He went to school, I think he said, at Creekview. So that was really cool to hear. But yeah, I'm excited for it. It seems like, you know, they think he's a great fit and everything. And so it's just going to be a really exciting time to see him, you know, get on the court. I'm assuming he's probably not playing this weekend, or not this weekend, but the California Classic, because of the shoulder injury that's happening. You know, Monty did say that they're going to see the doctors and, you know, figure all that out. But, like, people were kind of freaking out about that. And I was like, I feel like if they were super concerned about it, like, he would have already seen the doctors, the training staff, and they would have, like, kind of squared it away. Like, it seems like it's not something that they're expecting to be an issue. So
I'm assuming these are non-athletes talking, because it's like we've all had tweaks to our body. You know what I mean? Oh, I tweaked my shoulder. Yeah, it's probably just a tweak. And he talked about it himself. Devin Carter did. He was like, yeah, well, shout out to the NBA officials for, you know, examining him and already having that medical report available. I mean, you know, going to allow a multi-million dollar player to be drafted if they're already damaged goods. That's just not how it goes. So it's nothing to be concerned about at all.
Exactly. And like I said, I trust our medical staff. Our medical staff is great. Our trainers are great. Our medical staff is great over the years. You know, they've worked really well with the players. So yeah, I'm like, if, you know, they're not in a rush to get him seen, you know, it's not an issue. And if he doesn't play, like, in the California Classic, like, yeah, that's a bummer, because you want to see him on the court and see what he can bring. But, like, if, you know, he doesn't, it's not a big deal. Like, we just want to make sure he gets 100% healthy and he's kind of ready to go. And from what it sounds like, he probably won't play in the California Classic, but he'll probably go play in Summer League. And that's where he can, you know, kind of showcase what he, you know, wants to do. And then obviously they have that time off until training camp. So, yeah, it's not an issue, and people just need to stop reading into things.
Yeah, and shout out Tony Harvey for making that comment. Like, I think he said, oh, Devin, you're wearing a shirt today instead, unlike his draft outfit where he had no shirt on. And I also liked how we talked about how his father, who, you know, we said it before, he's an ex-NBA player, instilled his mindset and work ethic, and then, you know, how he just wants to be his true authentic self. And he really appreciated the fan base greeting him at the airport. And he said that purple might be his new favorite color. So overall, a really pleasant introductory press conference. And I think the fan base has definitely bought in, and they're definitely on board the Devin Carter bandwagon. All right. So as we all know, we're recording this a week after the NBA draft, and not to mention free agency has started. Kings made some offseason moves already. We got Malik Monk back for 4 years on a very team-friendly deal. We've talked about that in a previous episode. Did we talk about Alex Len re-signing with the Kings? Did we already talk about that?
No, I don't think so.
Because he re-signed on Sunday, so.
Yeah, I do love him coming back. I think he impacted, you know, he came on the floor and he made an impact, especially on the defensive end. I think they had a really great defensive rating when he played, even though, like, obviously it's a small sample because he didn't play many minutes in a game. So, yeah, I'm just really excited about Alex, and I hope he stays here until he decides to stop playing, because I think he's a really great backup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's done, you know, even in his first stint when he was here, I thought he was really great. I was kind of bummed that they didn't bring him back. And then obviously, you know, when Monty was here, they brought him, you know, back. And then he's been, you know, here ever since. So he's just been able to provide great things coming off the bench. Like, obviously, like Naima said, like, it's not a huge sample size, but he's coming in, he's being, you know, he's doing what he's being asked. He's providing really great minutes. And then, you know, just, you know, type of guy that you kind of need coming off your bench. So I just thought, like, you know, a 1 year, $3.3 million, like, that's nothing at all. It doesn't hurt anyone. Again, we know what, you know, he comes with, like, we know what he provides. So I just think, yeah, that was really, really important. And then obviously, you know, taking care of, I think our number one priority was bringing Malik back. And we took care of that. We took care of it well, considering these other contracts that are being thrown around. So I think everyone should Love Malik even more now because of the contract that he took compared to maybe what he could have gotten on the open market. And just appreciate, you know, that he chose Sacramento. He chose the team. He chose the fans. And, you know, like I said, I think he truly loves being here and obviously loves playing, you know, next to Fox and, you know, Sabonis and Keegan and, you know, everyone else and, you know, being coached by Mike Brown. So it's just, it was a really good start to free agency, I thought.
And Malik is far from his ceiling, by the way. I still think he has a few more levels to go in his game. So I'm just excited what he's going to bring this season and beyond, and just the chemistry between him, De'Aaron, and the rest of the team. I think
there's
nowhere to go but up.
I just want to say, oh my God, when I...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Saw Malik Monk re-signed with us. I literally screamed because I genuinely, like, when I saw the tweet, I think it was Shams or maybe it was Woj, I don't know, but I genuinely, and I feel like a lot of people felt like he wasn't going to come back. And, like, honestly, I understood it. Like, I'm like, go get your money, Malik. Like, you can, you know, only get these kind, like, you know, these kind of contracts, only so few, you know, it's potential, right? And so when I saw that, oh gosh, I was so happy. Like, I'm just so thankful towards, like, Malik Monk, because you don't see a lot of, like, you know, players that want to come, unfortunately, like, you know, we've had a bad rep these, like, what, past, like, 15, 16 years. So people don't really want a player. So when a player who, like, played extremely well with us decided to re-sign with us as well and not go somewhere else, even for the money, like, that just means a lot to, you know, us fans. So I just want to, like, Malik probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but on the chance that he does, I just want to personally thank Malik.
Of course he does. What are you talking about?
Personally thank him for re-signing with us, because he's going to feel, I know he already felt the love before, but he's really going to feel the love this upcoming season for deciding to stay in Sacramento and choosing the fans over, like, I know he was probably offered a whole lot more money. So, like, shout out to him.
Now, the Kings did make another move that is polarizing among the fan base. It is what it is. I personally like it. However, it is bittersweet for me. The Kings send Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, and the 45th pick to the Raptors for Jalen McDaniels. Now, if you ask, and I don't want to say the majority, but just the Raptors fans that I've seen online, they were so glad to see Jalen McDaniels go. But I think people need to really consider what the Raptors were last year, which was trash. Unfortunately, they had a really poor year. And I think his performance, his stat line, and I know people did not watch Raptors games, but they're going to look at his stat line. And I'm just going to say the results of his stat line was purely a situational type of thing. So I understand that he's not his brother, Jaden McDaniels, who plays for the Timberwolves, but the attributes are the same. He's 6'9", and he's athletic. And I think under Mike Brown, in our developmental program, I think we could develop him to be, you know, a positive for our team.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like, obviously, Davion has kind of been, you know, discussed as being like, is he staying? Is he going? And then it was exciting to see, you know, kind of what he was able to do, you know, towards the end of the season last year. And, you know, I thought he was a really, really, you know, big help, especially when like Malik went down and things, and his offense, he was kind of getting going. His 3-point shot was falling. His defense always, you know, he's always been able to, you know, defend really well. But then with the reports of Sasha, you know, being unhappy with his role, you know, it made sense to kind of move on from that. So when you, you know, kind of put yourself in a situation to where, you know, you're getting rid of a couple guys and then, you know, you're bringing someone back on an expiring contract. So it's like a, you know, low risk, high reward type of situation. And this is a thing is in the NBA, especially with your role players, is when you, you know, put these guys in situations, sometimes they just don't fit in a situation or a system. And then they go to a different place and they thrive in that situation and system. So until I see him play any minutes, I'm not going to judge what he previously did in his previous stop, because I just think that's completely unfair to him in his situation, especially because the Raptors were not good at all. So if he comes in and is just a complete dud and he doesn't perform, then there's no harm. He, you know, he's only going to be signed for the year, so they can just kind of let him walk. But the thing I was like confused about was getting rid of both like 2 second round picks. That was kind of a little head scratching to me. I didn't think we needed to offload 2 second round picks. So that was a little weird. But if Monty can make those, you know, undrafted signings that he did work, you know, there's a lot of upside to those, you know, those guys, then, you know, it could all work out and be totally fine. So it just, we have to kind of wait and see with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm excited to see, like I said, if he is able to perform, if he's kind of able to provide, you know, defense, if he can shoot, then hey, perfect. And if he can't, there's no harm, no foul. He just won't be, you know, brought back the following year.
We got rid of a malcontent, and then we got our salary down for the team. So for me, I think this was a move that is a precursor to something else that's coming this season, this offseason. So I think there's more to come, and I know Kings fans are being impatient right now, but I think this move was necessary for something that is yet to come, for sure. So my question for both of you is, was there any move in the NBA that you were a little jealous of? And just pick one, because I have one, because I do want to get us out of here tonight. Was there anything that a team did that made you a little envious?
Yeah, I think the one that I was like bummed about, I want to say Najee Marshall. I think he would have been perfect for this team. And of course he went to Dallas. So, you know, that makes Dallas better, which ew, like I hate Dallas. But yeah, I think that's like the one move that I was kind of bummed about. Obviously there was like rumors that, you know, we're interested in him. So, you know, that's also kind of a bummer, but yeah, I think he would be the one for me that was kind of like, ugh, I would have really liked to have him on our team, because I think he would have just fit so perfectly.
Yeah. I think the Warriors signing Kyle Anderson, I think that will be big for them. I liked how he played, like how he played with the Spurs and how he played with Minnesota. So I don't know. I feel like he would be a good pickup if we were able to get him. But, you know, of course, the Warriors get everything, you know.
And thank you for that. To scoff at Kyle Anderson signing with the Warriors is ridiculous. That tells me that you don't watch basketball. Nope. Any ball watcher knows that Kyle Anderson helps his team. So for whatever reason, I had some weird people popping off in my timeline about it, because I said he can only help them. And a few people were like, no, he can't. I'm like, all right. I didn't even engage because it's not worth it. I know what I'm talking about. I watch basketball. So anybody who watches basketball knows Kyler Anderson can help your team. And he could totally fit in with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. No one is saying he's like a superstar or something. He just, you know, he just knows he's like a leader, and he like will get you buckets if you need it. He can also handle the ball as well. So it's just like, it's a good pickup in the overall sense of it.
Or yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. I'm saying is.
Well, not you. People. Just
I know. I'm just saying in general, it's like, I don't know how that gets misconstrued on the interwebs, but whatever. I just had to say that. I was going to say the Trailblazers getting Denny Advia hurt a little. I just think he was somebody that I wanted for the Kings just because he's just a really, really good young player, and he would fit with this team. Granted, you know, I felt like Portland, we don't have a Malcolm Brogdon to send to the Wizards. You know what I mean? So I can't really hate on the trade because they sent pieces and or draft picks that we don't have or can't afford to give up. So good on them. That was one transaction that I was a little jealous of. I think everybody was upset that the Thunder got Caruso for literally just one player and didn't have to give up a pick. But again, can't really hit on that. The Kings don't have a player the equivalent of a Josh Giddey, you know, still a young up-and-coming player with upside. Granted, I think it's an underpay. The Bulls should have got at least a first rounder in that transaction, but I'll leave it at that. And then, of course, is the other transaction that happened that, of course, this player was wanted by most of the fan base, I feel, for the Sacramento Kings. And that was Mikal Bridges. He's going to the Knicks for a boatload, four first-round picks, Bojan Bogdanovic, a pick swap, and a second-round pick, which also is something that the Kings cannot afford to do. So, you know, those are all players that I think would have helped this team. But again, if we don't have the assets to trade for them, there's nothing we could do. So good on them. Any other players that got picked up in free agency that you guys were a little sad about? I mean, for me, and this is my little rant for the Monty do something crowd, after every Woj bomb that drops, you know, you get all these upset fans. And I don't think Monty McNair is sitting on his ass, quote unquote. But let's not act like we wanted James Wiseman. Let's not act like Monty Morris or Mo Bamba or Tobias Harris and so on. We're really going to make a difference with the Sacramento Kings. Tobias Harris would have cost us, you know, our salary cap. We'd have to give him way too much money for what he was going to offer us. It wasn't going to be Klay Thompson nor Chris Paul. And as much as I love Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that would probably be redundant for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I agree. Chris, I feel like, I don't know if this is an unpopular take, but I feel like Chris Paul with the Spurs is actually going to work very well with Wembanyama. Because in the games that I watch in the Spurs, I feel like they really struggle trying to get the ball to Wemby, even in moments where you're like, you have to. He towers over everybody. It literally does not matter who's on the floor. So I think that Chris Paul is going to like get him in spaces that's going to have him successful. So I think that was a good pickup by the Spurs. Even if they may not win so many games or go to the playoffs or whatever, I think it's a good developmental, you know, progress thing with Wemby, you know, seeing how they can play together. I think it's going to be good.
Well, it's literally like having a player coach on the floor. Like, exactly. Chris Paul's mind is actually what you're getting. And think about what he did for DeAndre Jordan with the Clippers.
Exactly, exactly.
And the talent gap between DeAndre Jordan and Victor Wembanyama is what it is. And so I'm excited. I actually think they could make the play-in, if not the playoffs.
Yeah,
if possible. The right pieces fall. And they still got Jeremy Sohan and Devin Vassell, who's a dog and killed the Kings during the regular season. So I like the move a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I do want to shout out Nemias Keita for re-signing with the Celtics. Get that contract, young man. I think that's exciting for him. And wow, it's always bittersweet to see a former Sacramento King become a world champion, but good for him. A few more free agent signings that I liked that I kind of wish the Kings had. And even though this would have been redundant, but De'Anthony Melton and the Warriors agree to a contract. I'm being greedy here, but it would have been nice just to have an incredible amount of backcourt depth for our team. De'Anthony Melton is that guy. Again, the Thunder sign or agree to sign Isaiah Hartenstein. They agreed to a contract. I think everybody fan base in the league wanted Isaiah Hartenstein after his performance in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was literally about to just say that he's like the type of player that would make us more successful and give rest. I feel like to Domas, like I feel like he never actually gets any rest when he's in games because he's like playing so hard, and it's like we don't have the luxury of really benching him for too long. So if we did sign him, it would have really helped us. So yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of like, you know, good free agent signings by teams and kind of filling, you know, their needs and things. And the thing I don't understand is, you know, obviously, you know, as fans, we watch games, you know, other fans watch games. And then they're like, oh, we want that guy. Oh, this guy would fit good on this team. Oh, this. And it's like, yeah, you know, watching that, you know, player and seeing what they can do, you know, yeah, they could probably help this team. However, does the Kings, you know, does our front office want that player? Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's up to our front office. Yeah, we may be interested in them as fans, of course, but does our front office think they're going to be a good fit for this team? Do they think they would fit into the offense? Do they think they'd be able to provide any defense? Like, just because we want all of these players doesn't mean our front office wants these players. So it's like, anytime a free agent signing and people are like, wow, why couldn't we have done that? And it's like, well, one, was our team interested in him? And two, we're very limited on the cap space that we have. We only have, I believe, like $9.3 million from like part, you know, that we can use for the partial MLE that we have available to us. So most of these contracts that are flying out right now, everyone's getting paid more than $9.3 million. So it's like, we're kind of squeezed when it comes to our cap space. So it's like, yeah, again, some of these players would help the team a ton, but we're in a situation where we can't be just out there, you know, throwing bags at everyone. So other teams, unfortunately, were, and they were able to, you know, get those players. And yeah, I agree. I think Chris Paul is actually going to be a really good fit in San Antonio. With how stacked the West is, I just don't know if they're going to be able to make that jump in year two, you know, from 22 wins to be able to, you know, maybe make a play-in situation. I feel like, you know, if Memphis is fully healthy, like they're going to be back in the mix. And then I think Houston is only going to get better. So that's another team that can potentially overtake them. But it's just, you know, it's all dependent on injuries, what happens, you know, what trades are made. You know, we're still in free agency. Like, free agency just started. So it's like, you know, does Brandon Ingram get moved? Does Kyle Kuzma get moved? Does Lauri Markkanen get moved? Like, if those players get moved to certain teams, that changes everything. Like, if Lauri Markkanen gets traded to the Spurs, I think that changes completely everything. And yeah, then maybe I think they could be an absolute playoff team. But if they don't and they kind of stick with what they're doing, they're going to be a really good young team. I just don't know if they're going to make that jump. But with the free agent stuff, it's like, I get it. You want moves to be made because it's exciting and you're like, ooh, new players and, you know, this and this and upgrades. And yeah, we're taking that next step. But also it's a process. And again, you know, I was listening to, you know, Sacktown 1140 with Kyle Draper and Woody Gleason, and they were like, Monty's not just sitting on his ass, guys. Like, he's not just like, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, do nothing all day and I don't care while all these players are getting signed. Like, that's not what he's doing. Like, I think he's absolutely on the phone, having conversations, figuring stuff out, but it's going to take time. And I would 100% get the criticism if we're into next season and we're in the same situation. If we don't make a move, criticize all you want, because he would deserve the criticism, you know. You deserve it, because I just don't think you can run this team back again. I think moves do need to be made. But again, we're day three into free agency. So it's like a little crazy to be jumping the gun and just thinking the world is ending and like stuff needs to be done now, when again, we're only day three into the situation and we still have many, many more months to go, because the trade deadline doesn't happen until the, you know, halfway through the season. Like obviously free agency does end, but the way we're going to make a move is through a trade. So we just have to be patient and wait. And again, if he doesn't do anything and we're in the same situation going into year three, criticize all you want, and that's completely fine. I would totally understand it because I think he would deserve it. But until then, until things start to fall into place, and you know, if things happen, then like I think, you know, people are just going to look really silly and go back and be like, wow, I was getting all worked up for nothing. And you know, they made the move and got it done. And this is the thing too, is what I've noticed, you know, about the Kings is we're connected to, you know, Brandon Ingram, we're connected to Kyle Kuzma, we're connected to DeMar DeRozan today. We got there's all these players that we get connected to, and Lauri Markkanen. Like, yeah, obviously all those players would be absolutely great. But the thing is about the Kings, it's like, who are we actually connected to, like for real? And I believe the Brandon Ingram thing is real, because if Sean and Cunningham isn't just putting that out there. So when that kind of stuff, yeah, I believe it. But if we remember when the news broke of Tyrese Haliburton getting traded, literally nobody in the NBA knew that until the Woj bomb was dropped. Like, I was on Twitter. I remember that day because I did a space for freaking ever. And I remember there was not a single tweet, not a single like, oh, they're shopping him. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that was like a boom, happened, done, he's gone. Like, no one suspected that was even going to happen. So I think that's just the way Monty works, is there's no leaking anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's going to happen if it happens. So, you know, when we get the Woj bomb, if we do, I think that's when we're truly going to find out. And until then, I think we just, you know, we have to be patient.
Yeah. One interesting tidbit though, I did read today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
And it was from Mark J. Spears, who gave all the intel as far as who Mike Brown's staff was going to be. He called it very early on the Deuce and Mo show three summers ago, is it? I forget. But anywho, he talked about how the Kings are going to make a move that is going to put them in the postseason again. I don't know what that means. It could be mean anything, but if there's anybody who's plugged in as far as to what the Kings are doing, it is him. So I'm excited. I'm going to hold on to that like treasure. It's going to keep my faith in Monty McNair for a long time this summer until things happen. And so, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I am checking Twitter probably every hour, maybe even sooner than that, just to see if there's an update. But yeah, I'm holding on to that for sure. Something's going to happen. I'm getting a vibe.
Yeah, I feel it too. I feel it coming.
It's the same vibe as, right? As the summer of Tyrese. Crazy mm-hmm. shit's going to happen.
A feeling Herter might be traded or something.
They're on the block. HB and Herter are on the block. Mm-hmm. But my question for you is, Keegan Fallori, yes or no?
No.
Is it the unknown versus the bona fide all-star? Is it that type of thing that we're trading away the unknown?
It's the contract situation. If Laurie was under contract for like 3 to 4 years, I would say absolutely do it. But since he's going to be on an expiring contract, I just don't think he can give up.
So Keegan for the idea of Keegan for a rental is a no-go.
Unless you can basically guarantee like a Pascal Siakam situation, like with Indiana, you can't do that. Like because you already traded Tyrese on a rookie contract, you traded Davion on a rookie contract. So getting rid of someone that like they've spoken so highly of, and I think expect to like take that next step. I just think that would be a mistake.
I'm on the fence actually, because I think Laurie still has yet to reach his ceiling as well. And he's already an all-star.
No, for sure. And like I said, it's a hard decision, but I just think the contract is just a...
Y'all think the Kings would trade Kevin and HB for Laurie? And do you think
that's a package already. Yeah. That's already been said.
And then maybe like a pick if they have to.
It would have to. Laurie is at least 3 picks. Definitely.
Well, this is not the thing too.
I would definitely do that. I would do that.
Danny Ainge, though, the thing is he's so unpredictable. And so that's like the thing that scares me. But like the thing that's frustrating is with some of these GMs, it's like they think they have like this holding power. And I'm like, you guys play stupid games and then you find out later. And I think, you know, that's why ultimately Danny Ainge didn't work out in Boston. And I just feel like it's like if you're truly wanting to like tank and rebuild, I think Laurie's like the piece that you do it with. And I think other teams have more to offer than we do, unfortunately. But it's like a matter if, you know, like the article came out, like, you know, Sacramento's not including Keegan, the Warriors aren't including Kuminga, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, if his contract was already solidified, like if he was like a Kyle Kuzma type of contract situation, absolutely heartbeat. Sorry, Keegan, I love you, but like that's a done sold deal. But I just don't think, you know, being on a rental, you know, a rental situation. And I just like, I think like, yes, he fills a hole, but then I think Keegan leaving would, you know, make another hole. And I just think, I don't know. I just think it would.
Yeah. I think if there's a promise there, kind of like OG and Siakam, I think it's a go.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen, but it's.
Well, you gotta make those, you know, moves sometimes. And like I said, ultimately my gut is telling me, I think ultimately he's going to go to the Warriors. I think they're going to let go Kuminga. And he's going to go to the Warriors.
Well, Kuminga and another few pieces. Oh,
well, that's what I'm saying. Too. But I think, you know, I think ultimately, because that's, I think the piece that's holding it up is they're not wanting to let go of Kuminga. But I think they would let go of Kuminga before we let go of Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, and they have more picks. That's so wild. So. That is so wild, guys. I don't even know. I'm with it.
Golden State, well, people laughed for, you know, their dynasty's done. Yeah, it probably is going to be a new dynasty, but they're going to be good. So
no, they are going to be. Steph and Laurie, are you kidding me? And then you still got that Steph, dickhead Laurie, Draymond. Yeah. So I do want to talk about our summer league roster. It's really weird. I'm not going to say every team in the NBA, but a lot of teams in the NBA have already published or posted their summer league roster. And I feel like with the Kings, I've just been putting pieces together from different smaller media outlets. I feel like summer league roster signings, I guess it's too small of news for Woj or Shams to post. So like smaller sports reporters are posting these. Three players that do stand out to me or Isaac Jones, who's ranked 69 by Sam Vecenie on his big board. He's a center, 6'9". Boogie Ellis, who I watched all season long in Pac-12 play, and he totally spoke to my UCLA Bruins. He's a 6'3 guard. He was ranked 77 by Sam Vecenie. And Isaiah Crawford, a 6'5 forward, he was ranked 56 by Sam Vecenie. I see 9 players so far. One of them is the nephew of JB Bickerstaff, 6'9 forward at TJ Bickerstaff. So some interesting names. It should be fun. It should be a fun team to watch over the summer. But we are going to move on. This is the Naima segment or portion of the podcast. We are going to talk about the WNBA. We have not talked about it for, what is that, 3 weeks? So the last time we had a week 4 recap, and now we are on our week 7 recap. So you just have to talk about 3 weeks worth of the WNBA night.
3 weeks?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I do want to congratulate you and your Minnesota Lynx. Woo-hoo! They won the Commissioner's Cup. That was a good game, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good game.
What's your take?
On the game?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in the first half, it didn't look so pretty. The Lynx were just leaving KT, Kayla Thorne, wide open on the, like, oh my gosh, I almost lost my mind how many times they left their wide open on the three and how we are guarding the three. Then we started hitting shots in the first half, and it was close. I think it was like a 4-point game too. I don't know. I don't really remember. It's like, it's been a week or something. But then in the second half, I mean, it was just a completely different game. We started playing better defense. We started hitting more shots. Nafisa Collier started to wake up. I mean, Bridget Carleton had a fantastic game. It was just an overall great team win. And it's nice, you know, for these players to win the money as well. I think it was 40K per player, especially these rookies who are earning like 70K for the year. So just 40K in one go is really awesome. So yeah, I was just very proud of our Lynx. Honestly, like from the beginning of the season, I don't exactly know what I was expecting for the Lynx. I knew we were going to be way better than last year because we just had, you know, good acquisitions in Courtney Williams, Alana Smith, and Natisha Heidemann, you know, and then getting a pick with Alyssa Peely. But to say that they were going to be this good, I don't think anyone saw it. But that's just like a testament to how, you know, the coaching staff of the Lynx and the players, what they demand from each other. So yeah, I was very pleased. Was looking rough in that first half, but we came out with the comeback win in the second half. So yeah, it was just a really good game. Also, if you're just watching as a neutral. So
yeah, I think the way they came back in the second half, that's what championship teams do. Mm-hmm. So that looked encouraging. I was excited for you. So yeah. Our next segment, and I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Do you guys want to stop here right after the top power forwards under 25, or do you want to continue with the other three questions? I could stop after that. You guys cool or what's up?
Do you want to, you know what? I realize doing top power forwards under 25 is so hard because it's not like the NBA where like players join the league when they're like 18, 19, like players join the league when they're 22 turning 23. So it was just kind of hard compiling. So maybe we can just skip that unless you want to.
Well, no. Oh, well, do you want to change it up to 27 then?
Oh, okay. 27 is good.
And do you want to save that for another week?
Yeah, please. So I can.
Okay. So
yeah, 27 is a good
I will. One. Yeah. Let me make my notes. All right. Yeah. So
it's just hard because I'm like, dang, that's like a player in like their third year. And I'm like, oof.
All right,
or rookies.
we'll put that on for the notes for next week or whatever. All right, so next question is then the next topic.
Yeah.
Will the championship aces come around? I mean, is it a thing where they just have a championship switch and they're going to turn it on a little later? What's your take? I feel like they are coming around.
Yeah, I do absolutely think the aces are going to come around, especially because they have Chelsea Gray that has come back in the last like 4 or 5 games. And, you know, they haven't lost since she's been since she's come back for the Aces and has started as well now, I think she's just a game changer for them. Like, they do not win championships without her back to back at all. Like, just it just would never happen, you know. I think, you know, they're playing against the Fever right now. They're up big. It's about to, you know, it's gonna end. So yeah, they definitely have a chance to, you know, repeat again. I don't think anyone is thinking that they weren't going to, like, you know, not make the playoffs, something like that, because at one point they were like seventh, but they're gonna start climbing and they're gonna start stacking wins. So yeah.
And are the Storm for real?
Storm, yes, I do think they are a threat. I feel like the beginning of the season they just needed time to gel. Like, any team that adds like two big acquisitions like Skylar Diggins-Smith and Nneka Agumake, you just need time to start playing well together, start understanding where a player likes the ball, and, you know, start playing together better, because they did beat the Sun, they did beat the Aces. So yeah, they're definitely a real deal. They play good defense. They have a great player in Jewel Lloyd, you know, a great point guard in Skylar. And yeah, their post is playing extremely well. One of the players, Ezzie Magnavore, their center, well, she plays center or power forward, depends if Nneka does or her. But yeah, she's having a great season, and possible defensive player of the year. So I do think the Storm are the real deal.
So the Mercury, the Fever, the Dream, and the Sky are all separated by two games.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to be the odd team out when it comes to the playoffs?
Out of those?
Yeah.
You know, depending on the health of Ryan Howard, I do think Atlanta might drop out of the playoff picture. They did lose tonight against the Chicago Sky. So I do think that's good. Like, it's going to be hard. I know they just beat the Connecticut Sun as well, but it's tough when you're like leading scorer and someone of the caliber of like Ryan Howard is out that long. I do think the Fever sneak in. I really do think that, but just by like a hair. And I think it's really going to come down to head to heads between teams. Because that's literally what it came down to last year. There was like four teams or like two, three teams that were tied, and one became a six or seven seed depending on like head to head, and one made the playoffs. I think it was actually LA and Chicago were tied last year, but then Chicago had the tie break because they beat LA more times. So it's going to be real close for sure, and it's going to be exciting.
So before you go, and this is a question for both of you, have you seen the post about the roster for the WNBA All-Star team
that's
going to be facing the Olympic national team?
Yes.
What's your take on that? I'm excited. It's going to happen next month, July 20th.
Next month, we're in July.
Yeah. What's your preview? What's your take? What are you looking forward to from that game? Liz first.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. You know, you have, obviously Caitlin and Angel making it, I thought was, you know, really cool. So to see them being able to play on the same team, because they never have, you know, that's going to be an interesting dynamic to, you know, see how that goes. You know, seeing Aaliyah Boston, you know, when I think we did like the first week breakdown, I said she didn't look very good at her footwork because, you know, it wasn't looking good. You know, I just thought she looked out of place a little bit, but she's really, really turned it on. And, you know, she's, her and Caitlin, like the chemistry that they have already is just amazing. Her footwork has got a lot better. Just the pick and roll and things that they're doing. So just seeing them together, you know, play against, you know, obviously the Olympic team is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Obviously the Olympic team is getting well more seasoned than this WNBA team, but it's just always going to be fun. You know, obviously the game is growing and everything. And, you know, a lot of talent is being, you know, is out there for, you know, people to see. So it's just going to be a really fun game to, you know, watch. And hopefully the youngins can take it. I think that'd actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, the thing about All-Star team is someone is always going to be, like, snubbed, quote-unquote snubbed. And I do think Dejanay Carrington did deserve a spot, as well as Ezzie Magnavore and Kennedy Carter. Now, who you take up, that's not that's not none of my business. But I do think those three players definitely deserved a spot, and it kind of sucks. Especially Dejanay, man. She's really stepped up big this entire season for Connecticut, and the reason why they're playing really well. So, and then she's like the front runner for MIP, most improved. So, yeah, it was kind of rough. But, yeah, it should be exciting. It's funny. The one good thing about, like, Olympic years, they actually recently started doing this, because when it was an Olympic year, I believe there was no All-Star. Yeah, there was no All-Star, so players were not named to All-Star teams and things like that, even if they weren't going to play. So it kind of took away from people's resumes back in the day. This literally started, like, 4 or 5 years ago. But it is nice that players who don't usually get the shine get to be on an All-Star roster like that, so it should be exciting. I mean, if you really were to take the game seriously, USA would absolutely destroy. Like, Team USA would destroy Team, you know, WNBA. However, I don't think they're gonna take it that seriously. If I'm Team USA, I am not taking any of this seriously. I'm trying to stay healthy for the Olympics and, you know, just, you know, play the game, give like, you know, handshake, you know, get on with it. But yeah, it should be a good game, and it's always, you know, exciting to see like great players like interact. So yeah,
I mean, it'll be as serious as they want it to be,
and, yeah, exactly. And
I think Team USA is definitely going to want to, you know, show a little dominance just because they have the experience, yeah, of playing together
first quarter.
Yeah, or unless they F around and find out, and they mess around and then maybe turn it up in the fourth quarter. Who do you think on the All-Stars, though, is actually going to have a good showing and be the one or two people that can get their own shot and just show out?
You know what? I would be excited if Kayla McBride would show out. She's been shooting, you know, really well this season from 3-point line. So I know people love to see them threes. So, and it's going to be in Phoenix. So yeah, I do hope she plays well. And definitely after not being named an All-Star for years now, they've given her, you know, an All-Star spot now. So it should be exciting to see her. I'm just really happy for her. She deserves it.
Nice. Nice. All right. I think that just about does it, man. I appreciate your time, and thank you to the listeners for making us a part of your day. Any last words?
Oh, I do want to shout out Kemba Walker. He announced that he's like officially retiring from basketball. And like, I just have like, maybe not so more so in the NBA, but maybe with the Hornets, with Charlotte. But especially with UConn, you know, you guys know I'm a huge UConn fan. I have like great memories of him in that UConn jersey. You know, we'll always have cardiac Kemba. So yeah, just shout out to him, and you know, congratulations to him, you know, on a great career.
100%. Liz?
Yeah, I mean, just I'm happy to, you know, continue to see moves being made. Mm-hmm. You know, what's gonna happen in Lakerland? Are they gonna be able to do anything? Because obviously we hate LA, so it's always fun to watch them kind of, you know, their demise. I will say, you know, this might be an unpopular topic, but it is a little bittersweet. Going to be watching Clay in a different jersey next year. You know, obviously the Warriors, you know, a lot of our fans hate the Warriors, and you know, we have people call it a little rivalry, whatever. But those players, you know, the core of Draymond, Steph, and Clay, I mean, as a basketball fan, they did some amazing things that, you know, you just don't see in the NBA on a regular basis. So the fact that it's, you know, it's officially over, you know, obviously as a Kings fan, we're like, yeah, the dynasty is finally over, but it's bittersweet to kind of see it and, you know, see that team, you know, finally, you know, kind of broken up. So I hope Clay isn't that good in Dallas, obviously, because, you know, we still have to play him, you know, 4 times a year, but yeah, it's bittersweet, I think, as an NBA fan to kind of watch, you know, something so great finally, you know, actually probably come to an end.
All dynasties have to end sometime. And I think that's the difficult decision when it comes to GMs and owners, is to when to blow up their team. And it is what it is. Sooner or later, Boston's going to have to decide when they're going to sell off their pieces. Sacramento Kings, we're not a dynasty by any means. We're not even a deep playoff team by any means. But sooner or later, this core is going to have its last run. And that's the difficult decisions that GMs have to make. So it's always fascinating Speaking of weird, the Toronto Raptors posted their welcome to the team, little graphic of Davion in a Toronto Raptors uniform. That was really strange to see. But I'm excited for him. I think he's going to take another leap this year, and that's going to be bittersweet to watch as a Kings fan. But that just about does it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with FELC, the Fidelity Enhanced Large Cap Core ETF. Unlike passive ETFs, FELC is run by a team of experts to adapt to market conditions and pursue upside potential wherever it's hiding. And while you get the potential outperformance of an actively managed fund, you can still buy and sell it on your terms, just like any other ETF. Discover FELC, the Fidelity Enhanced Large Cap Core ETF, part of Fidelity's suite of active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/FELC. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSC SIPC.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What makes a Carnival cruise fun? A picture-perfect beach day at Cozumel or a tropical adventure to Mayan ruins with snorkel excursion for good measure. A delectable surf and turf at sea, topped off with craft cocktails at Alchemy Bar. Now, get some Z's. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships Registry, Bahamas, Panama.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.